Well, I think I'll get started. So I was thinking about what to do tonight, and I decided to go back to some basics. I was thinking about, for me, when I'm meditating, what usually constitutes a meditation that I think has been somewhat successful versus ones that don't. And for me, it's frequently whether I'm any good at noticing thoughts. You know, sometimes thoughts just grab you and carry you away, and you can be thinking for, you know, 5, 10, 20 minutes, half an hour. You can think for a long time, and sometimes you can catch the thoughts, you know, early, and you can catch them over and over and over again. And so I think from time to time it's a good idea to go back to just thinking about what is helpful for, you know, for catching some of the basics. And for me, thinking is one of them. Actually, today I talked to a friend of mine. He was a guy I met when I went to Burma, and I kept in contact with him for a long time. Some of you met him. His name is Upunya, but he's no longer a monk, so his name is Greg Berdoulis, and he does teaching for various organizations. Like, he's done some for Google and other organizations. And he said, "Oh, you're going to teach tonight?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "What are you going to talk about?" He said, "Thinking." He said, "Oh." I said, "I have trouble with that all the time, and I know I do too." So anyway, that's what I want to do. And it's interesting, Kathy's here because I'm teaching a class with Kathy, and we're talking about thinking tomorrow. And that was one of the reasons I said, "Oh, thinking, you know, that might be something to talk about." So mindfulness of thoughts is not the same about thinking of something. And I know a lot of you know this, so this is kind of a review, but I want to do a couple exercises during the half an hour rather than talk the whole time. It's so common to get lost in thought, you know, and spend much of your time thinking. Thinking's not bad, it's not the enemy, but thinking is not meditation. Noticing thought is meditation, and if you can do that and do it well, you can have a good mindful meditation. So there's a few things I thought I'd read. There's one thing that comes from the East Bay mindfulness. And they said, I'm going to read a few things. This is the first thing. "By practicing Vipassana meditation, I learned to recognize that thoughts are unconsciously produced by my ego and my brain. And that they're not necessarily true. In fact, thoughts are often false beliefs based upon past experiences." So it's actually nice to not identify yourself with these thoughts, but to realize that thoughts are produced by your brain, like bile is produced by your liver. I love this analogy. So, you know, your liver just is producing bile, whether you want it to or not. And sometimes your mind is just producing thoughts similarly to your liver producing bile. They just come up. You don't ask for it to happen. It just does. So the big difference is that most of us have a healthy liver, which produces bile in a way that works as it should. Yet our brains sometimes are traumatized, therefore not producing thoughts in a healthy manner. And once you understand this, Vipassana meditation can become big fun. You are not your thoughts. You are the observer. So I'm sure a lot of you remember perhaps the first time you actually noticed the thought and you were able to stand over here and the thought was here, say, "Oh, that's not really me." And that's such a big thing, and to do it over and over again is incredibly useful. Another thing here that I want to read from Bhante Gunaratna, he wrote Mindfulness in Plain English. I think it might be my favorite beginning meditation book of all. And he says, somewhere in the process, he's talking about meditation, somewhere in the process you will come face to face with the sudden and shocking realization that you are completely crazy. I love that. So your mind is a shrieking, gibbering madhouse on wheels barreling pell-mell downhill, utterly out of control and hopeless. No problem. You are not crazier than you were yesterday. It's always been this way. You just never noticed. You're also no crazier than everybody around you. The only real difference is that you have confronted the situation. They have not. So they still feel relatively comfortable. That does not mean that they are better off. Ignorance may be bliss, but it does not lead to liberation. So don't let this realization unsettle you. It's only a milestone, actually, a sign of real progress. The very fact that you have looked at the problem straight in the eye means that you are on your way up and out of it. So I want to do something that I do when we teach a beginning class, and I want to spend just a couple of minutes having you count your thoughts. So imagine being a cat at a mouse hole, and, you know, so you're sitting there very intent. You know, I don't know, some of you have cats. If you don't have one, you've probably seen them. When they're really looking for something, they can be incredibly patient and incredibly aware. So imagine yourself sort of like at a mouse hole, but what you're doing is trying to notice thoughts. And so I want you to count the number of thoughts. We're going to do this exercise for maybe 3 minutes. So I just want to give you a little preview of how weird this can be. And I know a lot of you already know this, but doing it again, it can be helpful. So you're sitting there. I ring the bell. We start it. You might think, oh, no thoughts yet. One. Oh, there's a thought. Two. Pretty quiet in here. Oh, three. I wonder how I'm doing. Four. This exercise is stupid. Five. Now I'm settled in. Six. Was that just a thought I had? Oh, seven. When will this be over? Eight. Good, the bell rang. So you're going to have all kinds of weird thoughts, and can you catch them? And just count them. Don't worry about the content. Just one, two, three, and see if you can and do that. So we're going to start that exercise right now. I'm going to ring the bell. I'm going to give it 3 minutes and see how many thoughts you end up with. Okay. So, were you able to count them? How many did you get to?
Five. Okay.
Feel free to chime in if you have a number you'd like to share.
I feel like I got up around 50.
8, 50, 5. Okay.
But I also thought that was low because I felt like I was kind of meditating.
How many of you have done this exercise before where you counted thoughts? Okay. So some have, some haven't. I think it's really useful because it's a way to sort of forget about the content. And if there's any kind of a movement of your mind, that's one. And then you're kind of quiet again, then another one, another one. And it separates you from the thought so that you don't think the thought, you don't think of the thought as being you as much as sometimes we do. And I think when I have a good meditation, I'm able to just notice thoughts without jumping on the train and taking it all the way to wherever the thought is leading me. So that's one aspect. So I wanted to talk about a few other things. One other important thing is to try to catch the thought as close to the beginning of the thought as possible. If you can catch a thought in the first two or three words or the first 10 or 15 seconds, you have a chance to just not get on the train and go with it. You know, if you let the thought go for a minute or two, then you've probably followed it and you're far along with that thought. So try to see if you can get the thought as early as possible. Sometimes they're just a little bubble. It's not even a thought. It's just kind of like you can tell the mind is moving, but you don't really know exactly whether it's a thought or not. Just bloop. Sometimes you let it form into a thought. Sometimes you catch it and it doesn't. So catching it as early as possible. Another thing, so I'm going to do another exercise, and I know some of you have done this before too, but I think it's useful to sort of go back to the scales. I mean, I always think of meditation as sort of the same as playing the piano, and sometimes when I was a musician for quite a while, and sometimes I just go back and go up and down and do scales, even after I've been doing this a long time, just to sort of keep yourself, good and strong in the fundamentals. So I think watching thought is a clear fundamental for meditation. So can you notice the type of thought? We still don't care about the content, but we care about the content just enough to know the type of thought. For instance, can you tell whether the thought is remembering? One of the very common types of thoughts that come up are things in the past. So a thought in the past is remembering. So that's maybe one note. You might make a mental note, remembering. And then frequently the thought will dissipate and you go back to meditating. Another thought that comes up common is planning, some thought about the future. Another one is judging. You know, whether something is good or not. You think something somebody else is doing is good or bad. Something you're doing is good or bad. Judging comes up. We don't care. You don't have to ride the train and don't have to tell the whole story. Just notice, oh, I'm judging. Fantasizing. Sometimes you're just making stuff up. It's kind of like a dream. And you don't know where it's coming from, but just these things are being made up. Another one that's pretty common is rehearsing. You know, you're going to meet somebody and you're trying to figure out, oh, what am I going to say? And you're just thinking of it. Sometimes it's a loop of rehearsing over and over. And all these things can happen while you're meditating. One of my favorite ones is confused. I have a thought come up, and I don't know what it's about. So I'm just confused, and I love the mental note, confused, because it's telling me what's happening right now. So when you make a mental note of a thought, make it be a whisper in the back of the mind. And, my first teacher was a guy named Joseph Goldstein, and he had this thing that he would have people do sometimes. He would say that try to have as many NPMs as possible. That's notings per minute. And if you could have a lot of NPMs, he thought that, you know, that was one way to measure meditation. Not that we really want to go around measuring meditation all the time. But a lot of notings. You know, if you're sitting there meditating and you're clear and and you know what's happening, you don't have to do the noting. But if you're not clear and you're a little bit fuzzy, you might do something like, you know, rising, falling, heat, itch, pain. Then your thought comes up, planning, pressure, touching, rising, remembering. And you can just kind of go like that. It's not pressure. It doesn't have to be hard. Just little notes. In fact, if you make it hard, then it becomes if you make it into too big of a project, it can be kind of annoying. Just a little whisper. Oh, that's what's happening. And if you're doing well, then just drop the notes. But for me, the noting can be very helpful. So I'd like to do another little exercise. So again, we're going to do maybe 3 minutes or so. And again, try to notice your thought. And when you notice the thought, try to see if you can put it in a simple category. Remembering, planning, judging, fantasizing, rehearsing, confused. And don't spend a lot of time on that. If you can't put it into a category quickly, just use the generic thinking. That's plenty good. So let's give this a try. Okay, so sit in your normal meditative position. I'll ring the bell to start, and I'll ring the bell at the end. Okay, so were you able to notice various categories? How many people had thoughts of the past, remembering? I have those all the time. How many people had thoughts of the future, planning, Anybody had thoughts of judging? This is better, this is worse. Okay, and you can have them all. I know that. What about just fantasizing? Just something comes into your mind that has no idea what it was about. I'm rehearsing something you're going to be doing. Okay, there's a few. Anybody have the confused one? That one's a little less common, but so I just think it's useful from time to time to just focus again on one of the more difficult things to get you into a good meditation. A few other things I wanted to mention or read. Bhante Gunaratna, again, from Mindfulness in Plain English. So there's a difference between being aware of a thought and thinking a thought, which is what we've been talking about. That difference is very subtle. It is primarily a matter of feeling or texture. A thought you are simply aware of with bare attention feels light in texture. There's a sense of distance between that thought and the awareness viewing it. It arises lightly like a bubble, and it passes away without necessarily giving rise to the next thought in that chain. Normal consciousness thought is much heavier in texture. It is ponderous, commanding, compulsive. It sucks you in, grabs control of your consciousness. By its very nature, it is obsessional, and it leads straight to the next thought in the chain, apparently with no gap between them. And I loved reading this because I get what he's talking about. You know, if I can pay attention to a thought, it's lighter. If I get caught in it, it's heavy and drags me away. And it's interesting to think of it that way. One other thing, and this is from the South Bay Insight Meditation, said one important discovery in mindfulness meditation is that a thought is just a thought. A thought is not the thing it represents. So another thing Joseph would say all the time is the thought of an apple is not an apple. It's just a thought. And a thought of whatever you have a thought of is not that thing, it's just a thought. Notice it as a thought, don't think of it as the thing you're thinking. So when you're remembering being somewhere, that's just a thought, it's a memory. When you're planning something, it's just a thought. And I think that's a useful way to think about it. A few other things to think about is the tone. Do you notice the tone of your note when you're noting a thought? For instance, let's say you're remembering something. You can say, if it's a nice thing and you're remembering it and it's a pleasant memory, you might have a sort of a nice tone to it. That tone is another thing to be mindful of. If you're remembering an argument and you felt that you were right and the other person maybe wasn't, you might have sort of it won't be as pleasant. It'll be sort of a self-righteous type of tone. It might be a sad thing that you're remembering, so there might be a sadness to the tone. So it's interesting to go below what it is you're thinking about and noticing the tone. And that's not the same thing as noticing the thought, but it's noticing the feeling that's with it, the emotional content. Same with planning. You might be planning something that's wonderful. You have a party, and of course now in this COVID thing, not too many people are having parties, but you might be planning something that is somewhat pleasant, and there's a tone to that. Or you might have something very unpleasant that you're planning. And so try to be aware of that as well, because that's an important part of the thought. The tones can be harsh, bored, scared, excited. And just leave a little bit of your mind to be able to notice that tone, because that's even more subtle than the thought. So a few other things. Some of these are review. Thoughts are uninvited. To me, that's incredibly strange. That was my first insight when I started this. As I was sitting meditating, these thoughts were bubbling up. And I said, what in the world? I thought I was thinking these thoughts, and they're bubbling up on their own. Do you have control of the process? Not so much. Interesting to think about. In what sense are the thoughts me or mine? Is that thought you? It's a tough one. Most people identify with their thoughts. If they don't identify with their body, they certainly identify with their thoughts. That's an interesting one to explore. I'm not sure thoughts are me or mine at all. Can you notice the thought without buying into it, without chasing it down the road and following the train of the thought? And can you notice the thought early? Those are all important things to think about as you meditate and you try to, be aware of thought. If you're not aware of thought, chances are you'll spend at least I'll speak for myself. If I'm not able to be aware of thinking, then frequently I will just be thinking rather than being aware of it. And, sitting down to think for 20 minutes is not, it's not a bad thing, but it's not meditation. Being aware of thinking is meditation. Thinking is not. So it's a good check on what you're doing. And talking to my friend today, he said he has trouble with this all the time. I have trouble with it. I've been meditating a long time, as many of you have, and I'm sure that there are times you get lost in your thoughts. Yeah, we all do. So I just thought I'd bring that up today. That's the half an hour, and it's sort of a delve back into the basics of meditation.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.